up a global missile defense agreement, I'd be a shoo-in for the nomination 5 years from now. Able One. Cockpit.
Left main gear is no go, said Major Kaufman. Colonel Christopher saw the red light glaring on the control board. It wasn't the only one, but it seemed bigger, hotter than all the others.
Must have been shot up when that missile hit number two engine, Kaufman added.
Christopher nodded, wondering what else was damaged by that missile hit. Deep inside the swirling storm, the plane was shaking badly, shuddering like a palsied old man.
John, she called into her mic, how far from the field are we?
82 miles, Colonel.
Brick, get me the tower.
A moment's silence, then, tower on Freak 4, ma'am.
Misawa Tower here. Report your...
Able One, she interrupted.
We're on final. One engine out and left main gear won't deploy.
Karen could hear voices chattering in the background.
She remembered the old story about a pilot telling the control tower that his engine was dead and his controls not responding.
What should I do? The panicked flyer asked, and the control tower calmly responded, repeat after me, the Lord is my shepherd.
At last the voice from the control tower replied coolly,
abort your final approach and orbit the field until you've burned off your fuel.
Can't do it, Christopher snapped.
We're damaged. I don't know how long this bird'll hold together. I'm going to dump our fuel.
Negative. Environmental regulations forbid.
Screw the environmental regs. We're shot up and bouncing around up here like a kid on a trampoline. I'm dumping our fuel and coming in.
Colonel Christopher clicked off the connection with Misawa and turned to Kaufman.
Open them up, Obi.
With a grim smile, Kaufman reached for the fuel tank controls.
What about the stuff for the laser? They got anything left in their tanks?
Harry had decided to let Monk out of the lavatory. The big engineer, his face somewhere between surly and sheepish, sat in the bucket seat next to Wally Rosenberg.
Strap in good, Harry said tightly. It's going to be a rough landing.
Like it ain't rough already, Delaney muttered. It was getting even rougher, Harry thought.
It was difficult to click his safety harness shut. The plane was stuttering around so badly.
Hartunian!
The overhead intercom speaker cracked like a rifle shot.
Blow out the fuel in your tanks, pronto!
Colonel Christopher's voice. Harry stared at the speaker grill above him. Then he turned to Wally Rosenberg.
You heard the lady, he said, unclicking his harness. Let's get it done.
Rosenberg reluctantly got to his feet.
I'll go, Jefe, said Angel Reyes, fumbling with his harness.
Stay here, Harry said. Wally and I can do it.
The plane lurched so badly that Harry jolted into little Taki Nakamura's lap. Rosenberg banged against the bulkhead.
Oof, said Takamura. Watch it.
Sorry, Harry mumbled. Getting to his feet, he grabbed for Rosenberg's arm.
Come on, Wally.
Pronto, the lady said.
Rubbing his shoulder, Rosenberg grumbled.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns,
never mind the wisecracks, Harry said. Let's get the job done.
Fuel's all dumped, Colonel,
Hartunian's voice sounded over the intercom.
Get back in your seat and strap in tight, said Colonel Christopher.
We're going in.
It's going to be rough.
Yes, ma'am.
Karen Christopher was as scared as she'd ever been in her life, but once again she felt an icy calm engulfing her. It was as if she were somewhere else, somewhere in an ethereal world, watching this slim woman who looked just like her wrestling with the controls of the massive jumbo jet. Able One was